a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is The Starting Lineup, presented by Peach Windows and Doors.
Gotta love it!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Starting Lineup brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors, Utah's premier window and door retailer, combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255.
Scotty, I'm starting to wonder how tradable and how movable Rudy Gobert's ability, contract, future, and situation is. I'm starting to wonder how tradable, how movable he really is. And I'm gonna give you my reasoning behind this. Let's say Rudy is on my basketball team, and I see everything, and I know in detail, in depth, everything he's cleaned up and everything that he's done, because the perimeter defense was what it was, and the scheme that I installed was what it was, in order to best use his attributes.
Yeah,
I know the inner workings of his importance. I've got his three defensive players of the year. I've got everything in my bag. I know who this guy is. So when I get a call and somebody's looking at, like, it's just a defensive player, and they call and they're like, and you're like, oh yeah, let's see. So we'll take Capella, we'll take your 16th, we'll take Hunter, we'll take Collins. And on the other line, they're like, who do you think you have over there? Who do you think that guy is? He's a defensive player. He's a very good defensive. He's a defensive player. But on the inside, you're like, no, I know who I have. And the last thing I can do is hand this guy over for peanuts. And as things went by last night, I kind of fell further into the line of thinking of the Jazz organization holds Rudy Gobert's ability and future in high regard. And I wonder how many other teams in the NBA truly understand the depth of what scheme was built around Rudy, what his future is and what his value is, and if that's going to inhibit the Jazz ability to find the right pieces for him.
Yeah, there's a couple things in play here, and I think you've hit on something there. And I've referenced it a few times, the John Hollinger piece in The Athletic, where teams, going back to the Clippers in the series last year, have started to figure out the key to Rudy. And I think there's two different things that we look at. There's, okay, wait a minute. Is this a key to beat Rudy individually, or is it a key to beat the Utah Jazz with Rudy Gobert? And I think it has more to do with the Jazz and how they were built than it is Rudy Gobert specifically. Because you can look at Rudy Gobert, and I could take him, and I firmly believe this, Rudy Gobert, for some reason, is a bit of a punching bag around the NBA. You take him to Atlanta, you take him to Dallas, you take him to even Chicago, you put him on some of these other teams, and in a larger market with a better supporting cast around him, and the narrative on Rudy Gobert is going to change like this, like that, overnight. Like, Rudy Gobert will be thought of very differently. He'll be treated very differently. And his respect level will skyrocket. The Utah Jazz and Quinn Snyder built a scheme around funneling everything to Rudy, that means that, and they did so with perimeter defenders who weren't particularly good. You put him on that Dallas team with good perimeter defenders and with Luka Doncic throwing alley-oops to him like crazy, Rudy Gobert is going to be a huge storyline in the NBA. I don't want to say the Jazz have done him a disservice. I just want to say the way that it was built has done Rudy Gobert a bit of a disservice. So I think around the league, there's a lot of teams out there that realize, okay, yeah, he's got some limitations offensively, but in our system, he's going to be fantastic and he's going to flourish
you
because
think that, you
we've
say,
got
you
perimeter
think they
defenders.
Do realize that?
I do think there's a lot of teams out there that realize that.
Because I feel like that they aren't putting that into true perspective.
I think the demand for Rudy Gobert will continue. Well, like, okay, this is me speculating, right? This isn't sources or anything like this. I would be shocked if Rudy Gobert's on the Utah Jazz roster to start the season. Because I do think there are teams very interested. I do think at some point there's going to be a trade. Again, that's just me. I'm not.
So when the trade happens, do you think that Jazz fans and Jazz front office, Jazz fans, whatever happens with them, happens with them. Do you think Jazz front office will look at that trade and say, all right, good deal. Good deal.
They will look at it in terms of a good deal in regards to building a team around Donovan Mitchell, about eliminating at bare minimum about $130 million that they're going to have to spend over the next 3 years, possibly $180 million if he decides to opt into a final year of his contract, and it gives him luxury flexibility to be able to build this team for the future. In terms of you being better next year, no, it's not going to be a good deal. Look, the problem is everybody was so fired up with a trade last night, they anticipated there was going to be a trade. You realize you trade Rudy Gobert, you're going backwards next year.
Oh, yeah.
You need to understand that.
Unless you reorganize the backcourt.
Yeah, which is probably the Jazz don't really have the flexibility to do that.
There is not another man in the NBA that can do what this staff asked Rudy Gobert to do in a regular season to get you to that 50-win mark and keep you in the top four seed conversation. Like, nobody else can do it.
The way this team is constantly built, you take Rudy Gobert, this team is going to be a bottom third defensive team in the NBA next year. Bare minimum. Maybe bottom five. Now, you do have financial flexibilities. You'll probably pick up some assets along the way. There's going to be some things
you do
that you'll
have
be able to pick.
A whole new scheme that's going to be built with Quinn Snyder's exit.
Exactly. But make note, you're taking a Hall of Fame defensive player and you're removing him. You'll get some pieces back, but you'll not get dollar for dollar.
That's why. And I'm 60% in on that thing. Like, I'm more leaning towards Rudy not being on the court for the Utah Jazz than I am him being on the court for the Utah Jazz. But as I see each landmark pass,
yes,
I keep thinking to myself, they asked, they're inquiring, they're doing their work, and they're not getting the return on their expectation of what Rudy is. And every time something passes, my thought is, Donovan and Rudy might be playing again together. Like, every time that something passes, I get more and more, I have to lean more and more towards, get ready for a reboot. Now, I'm not saying reboot with Conley and Royce, and I'm saying a reboot with Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Now, I was... this time yesterday, I was 90% Rudy Gobert would not be on the roster next year. Right now, I'm about 65%.
Okay. So we're not far off.
Yeah, we're not far off. I still am at the point where I'd be surprised, But also, I think if you're in the Jazz front office, you have to look at things and be like, okay, we had some offers out there. We didn't like it. We'll probably continue to get some offers, but not enough for us to pull the trigger. If we don't get those offers that we'd like, we bring Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell back, we're still going to win 50 games next year, 47 to 51. You're going to be in that range, which is not a bad place to be. Now, you'll probably get bounced in the first, maybe the second round of the playoffs. You won't sniff an NBA championship, but you'll still put butts in the seat. You'll still have entertaining regular season basketball, and you'll still make a whole lot of money.
My perspective's changing a lot on that, quite a bit. With the situation that you got going on in the coaching staff, or with the coaching staff, and me believing, like I'm 60% that Rudy Gobert will be or won't be back with the Jazz, but I'm 90% that Conley won't be back, probably 80% that O'Neal won't be back, and I feel like we're going to see some personnel changes. There's a part of me that wonders, and again, I'm sure it's a wonderment that will be answered somewhere in the second round of the NBA playoffs. But there's a wonder in the back of my mind of new voice, one or two new exterior additions, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and what do we possibly have?
So you think it could be better?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I
thought when you were going down this line, you need to prepare. Even with Donovan Rudy, it could be much worse.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I think with a new coach, with possibly one or two moves, bringing Donovan and Rudy back, and just a different perspective and idea. I'm hopeful. At least I'm hopeful. That would be so much more hopeful to me, thinking, all right, the Jazz still have two All-Stars. And, you know, let's say they bring in Frank Vogel, who just won an NBA championship, three seasons ago?
Yeah.
So Frank Vogel, was that three seasons ago?
It was the bubble. So it had been the summer of 20, two years ago.
So you add a championship coach who I've got a lot of respect for Vogel. I'd rather Vogel than Stotts. That's just me. You get two or three pieces, and we can talk about these additions. I don't think this youth is really going to help, but I am at least interested in one or two of the signings that the Jazz have made.
Summer League got more interesting. I'll say that.
It did. I think it's going to be exciting, especially with two of the names.
Yeah.
And so I still have this hope, like it's not over. And if they move Rudy and they bring just a bunch of odds and ends to put on the court with Donovan Mitchell, and they hire a coach that I'm not real familiar with, it's going to be such a struggle for me.
Yeah.
And it'll be a struggle for everybody. My hope is they make moves in an effort to win now. With Donovan Mitchell. I got to imagine that's... I got to imagine that's what's extremely important right now. Is, you look at Donovan Mitchell and you look at where he's at in his career, you don't want Donovan to be Damian.
No.
You're just going to keep putting him on the hook and he's going to leave.
Well, and
he's not going to Damian Lillard it here.
No.
He's not going to be the good soldier.
Donovan's got a special, Damian's got a special kind of loyalty where he's like, this is the club that took a chance on me. I'm going to be loyal to the city, loyal to the community. I don't think Donovan's got quite that in his DNA.
Nope.
That's not a knock on Donovan. That's just a prop on Damian. He's just built differently than everybody else. And in fact, you got everybody else out there like you and me, like Damian, dude, request a trade. Get out of there.
Go.
You need to go. And we don't say that about anybody.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.